burst, they said. He shook his head. It's too big a leap. That must be 1,000 times the energy flux we've brought to bear on the thing. About 800, I think. But that laser didn't even warm it up. That was true. They'd tried a 20-million-joule industrial laser on it, and the thermosensors hadn't budged. The thing seemed to be an infinite heat sink. What if we destroy it? I think we'll be lucky to get enough ablation for an absorption spectrum. And if you don't, you crank it up to full power? Only by degrees. We'll be cautious, Russ. Oh, I know you will. He took a big bite and concentrated on chewing it. I'm just worried about the first shot. If that doesn't affect it, it can handle another factor of 10. You anthropomorphize it. Brave little spaceship versus the monstrous military-industrial complex. You've been hanging around too much with Jack. Speaking of anthropomorphizing, he's angry with the thing. Well, it's resisting his advances. She looked at him steadily. He doesn't like that. Russ couldn't repress a smile. He doesn't, eh? Jack's attraction to the astrobiologist had been immediately obvious. She rolled her eyes. I'm a grandmother. But not very grandmotherly. Don't you start. I'm 10 years older than you. 8 or 9, Russ thought, but didn't press it. You want something besides the sandwich? Pepsid. I brought my own. Chapter 20. Bataan, Philippines. 28 March, 1942. Thousands of American and Filipino captives were herded onto dusty fields outside of the town of Mariveles and made to sit under the baking sun without provision of food, water, or latrines. The changeling and Hugh had each managed 2 canteens, and they had a loaf of hard bread between them. The other 50-some Marines were someplace else in the vast sea of suffering men. Some units had stayed together, which proved a significant advantage for individuals' survival. Others, like the Marine detachment, were broken up. Hugh carved an inch-thick slice of the bread with his mess kit spoon, and they split it. The changeling could have done without, of course, but couldn't think of a reason to refuse. He took the smaller half.
God, I'd kill for a burger,
Hugh said quietly, eating the bread in pinches of crumbly, dry crust. People will kill for bread soon enough, the changeling said, unless they decide to feed us.
Kill for water, Hugh said, taking a small sip.
People did die from water, starting that day. Dehydrated, they would greedily lap or suck from any source, and every source that wasn't purified was contaminated. Dysentery increased the foulness of the camp and further dehydrated the dying men. The Japanese opened a tap that gave a trickle of brown water to people who were strong enough to stand in line for hours. Hugh had a tin of iodine tablets that made the water safe to drink, though the taste made most people gag. The changeling thought the iodine was a delicious condiment. Like the chlorine it had enjoyed in boot camp, iodine was a halogen, toxic to most earth creatures. When night fell, the Japanese soldiers moved through the horde of collapsed captives, yelling and kicking at them. The ones who were dead or not alive enough to respond were buried by the ones who were able to hack a hole in the hard ground with entrenching tools. Some were buried prematurely. If they struggled, a guard would help them along with a rifle butt or bayonet. At dawn, they started pulling people at random to form into marching ranks of 40 to 100 each. When he saw what they were doing, Hugh gave the changeling half the iodine tablets, folded into an old letter from home. That was a prescient as well as an altruistic act. Minutes later, they hauled him roughly away. They would not see each other again for a long time. The changeling sat quietly for 2 more days, watching the crowd of strangers around it thin. From the lack of bread, it shrank imperceptibly and tried to mimic the symptoms of starvation to keep from standing out. On the third morning, 2 soldiers hauled the changeling to its feet and pushed it to the road. It joined a motley crowd of Army and Navy men, some asleep on their feet, a couple being held up by others.